God is still good as we're trying to work out these circumstances. Today, I want to probably finish up this text in Romans chapter 12. And so for those of you that have your Bibles, if you could find Romans chapter 12, and if you're physically able to stand, you've been sitting for a while, so if you're physically able to stand, let's honor God as I read these three verses in your hearing. Romans chapter 12, verses 6, 7, and 8. It says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Amen. Father, we thank you so much, so much, so much for another day of life. Thank you so much for a reasonable, as I've heard many say before, a reasonable portion of health and strength. But we thank you for forever being faithful to us, Lord. In the words of Jeremiah, your steadfast love never ceases. Your mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And so we just bow, oh Lord, we bow before you today in the presence of the Most High and Holy God. We bow before you. Our hearts are humbled in your presence, Lord, and we consider it an honor and a privilege to be in your presence today. Meet us now in the scriptures. Be glorified in our presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone that loves Jesus said, amen. Amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. Well, all right. For those of you that have been following along with us, you know that we are working our way through a series we're calling The Body of Christ. And we started looking at this list of spiritual gifts here in Romans chapter 12 a few weeks ago, and today we'll probably finish up this list. You might remember that what I've said to you all along is that spiritual gifts will manifest themselves or reveal themselves as believers are active in life, you see. Oftentimes I think we only think of spiritual gifts revealing themselves when we're active in some type of church gathering, but that's not true. Spiritual gifts are to be used in life. You see, they are to be used in service, right? In service for the Lord. And certainly you know that you don't only serve the Lord when you come to church. How sad would that be? That the only time you get to serve God is about 3 hours out of a week. Surely you know that's not true. And so you have to look for ways, you see, to use your package. God has given you a gift package, you see. And that package is for his glory. It's for the good of everyone around you and for your own soul, the benefit of your own soul, all right? So you have got to find ways not to just be busy. I'm not asking you to become a busybody. But if you want to, first of all, discover which gifts you have, then you've got to be active. You've got to be involved, not just in doing things, but in people's lives.
Amen.
See, the spiritual gifts are given for the good of the body. That means what? People. People. And so that's the reason at the end of verse 6 there, it says, let us use them. You got them, right? Having gifts, then use them. And we've already covered five of these gifts listed here in this chapter. You might remember the first one was prophecy. And we define prophecy as being the immediate inspiration from the Holy Spirit. You see, you were circumstance in your life, and you realize God wants me to say something here, you see. So this gift of prophecy is not something that you sat down and studied and prayed about. You were, is unplanned, you've heard me use these words before, unplanned and unrehearsed, God specifically shows you that I want you to say something here, you see. That's the way the gift of prophecy works. So the Holy Spirit then inspires a believer to speak truth from God. And this truth is used to edify other Christians. It's used to exhort, or if you will, encourage other Christians. It's used to comfort. But it's also, you might remember when we worked through this, it's used to convict. And see, oftentimes God needs the person with this gift to speak up because people need to be convicted of their sin. See, the gift of prophecy. And this gift is the one that reaches the heart. We also covered the gift of service. You might remember that. That's a supernatural concern for people. The person with this gift may look around and wonder why anybody else can't see what's going on, can't see the needs that people have. But you know, that's not the way God doesn't want you to use your gift to look around and wonder why other people can't see it. You have the gift, and that's the reason you can see it. The person with this gift has a supernatural concern and ability to meet the practical needs of others in a specific way. And you got to do it. When you see it, you've got to do it. This gift primarily uses the hands. We talked about the gift of teaching. This is the supernatural ability to interpret, explain, and then apply the scriptures to make application of the scriptures for people. This gift primarily ministers to the mind, you see, to the mind. The fourth gift that we talked about was the gift of exhortation. We talked about that last week. This is a supernatural ability to motivate people to obey God. You know when you've been around a person with the gift of exhortation. They just have a way of encouraging you you remember that old song, I feel like going on, you see? When you're around a person with the gift of exhortation, you're tired, you've been discouraged by circumstances of life, but the person with this gift can encourage you to go on, you see? Don't quit, don't give up now. That's the reason the body of Christ needs people with the gift of exhortation. Again, this gift reaches the heart. And then the last gift that we looked at last week is the gift of mercy. And this is the supernatural ability to discern when somebody's in misery. Yeah. Misery is David referred to it as the valley. And all of us have gotten in the valley at times. Of course, in Psalm 23, he refers to the valley of the what? The shadow of death. But you can be in a valley and it not necessarily be medical. Some people are discouraged low enough, depressed low enough, that they just don't want to live, you see? But the gift of mercy is willing to get in there when a person doesn't feel like they're cleaning up their house. When a person doesn't feel like having company. You see, the gift of mercy gets into messy situations. And when you got the gift of mercy, That's the reason God continues to lead you into messy situations, because the gift of mercy knows how to get in there, you see. Get into messy situations where other people don't want to go. Deal with messy people that other people don't want to deal with, you see. We need the gift of mercy, because not only does the gift of mercy get involved, the gift of mercy knows how to bring some relief.
Amen.
That person's been miserable for weeks, but the gift of mercy can get in there and help them find some relief in life, you see. It's more than telling people it's going to be all right. What does that mean? You see? You have to get in there and bring some relief. You understand? Okay. And so I won't rehearse all those, but we've covered these five, and today then we want to look at the last two here in Romans 12. That is the gift of giving and the gift of leading. All right, you ready? That was a warm-up. Okay, you warmed up now, so let's go. I alerted you when we started going down this road that this isn't, we're not dabbling now. You've been studying the scriptures long enough, some of you 20, 30 years. You have to be ready now to, as Paul said, we're moving away from milk. You got to be ready for solid food. And solid food means that you're willing to dig a little deeper, you see? Think a little deeper. Be convicted a little deeper, you see? And that's what's the challenge, you know? Those of us who've made it through our 40s and 50s and now into our 60s and 70s, we haven't made it. We still got growing to do, yes? We still got maturing to do. And so that's what I mean. We haven't arrived at any particular point to where we can just sit back. We got to keep what? Pressing on. Isn't that what Paul said? Yes. Forgetting those things that what? That lie behind. I got to strive, stretch, strain forward to those things that are ahead and what? And press on. Okay, so that's what I'm asking you to do as we try to work our way through these spiritual gifts. Okay, so let's talk about the gift of giving. Now, by the way, let me just say this. Y'all do know that I've told you that Jesus Christ is the perfect example. That's the reason I try to glean things from his life with the other five gifts, and that's what we're going to do today. He's the perfect example. So when it comes to the gift of giving, I define that as the supernatural ability to sacrificially impart of oneself and one's possessions as needs might dictate. So it's not simply giving people what you have, but the person with the gift of giving also makes them what? Themselves available. Makes themselves available when other people won't give. When other people say they don't have time, the person with the gift of giving is willing to what? Sacrifice time, even though they're busy, even though they have a family, even though they have a job, even though their house needs maintenance, even though, all these things. The person with the gift of giving doesn't mean that they just got plenty of time. It means that they're willing to sacrifice, even though there are major demands, you see, on their life, right? And so it's supernatural. That's the reason I've said that in each of this case. These are spiritual gifts, spiritual abilities that you didn't have before you were born again. You see? And I can tell you for sure, you know, I was not did not desire to be a public speaker. I did not desire to spend hours upon hours studying the scriptures and digging into what the words mean and going through all of the commentaries and dictionaries, and that wasn't my desire. But when God saved me, you see, he gave me that desire, and I willingly yield You see? Because I want to use my package. When I die, I want my candle to be burned out. I'm not saving for anything. You understand? And so that's the reason you have to discover, first of all, what you have been given. It's spiritual. It's supernatural. And you'll never discover it by just studying your Bible alone. You have got to be involved in people's lives. Whatever, you see, whatever way that is. And obviously some of us have major limitations, but you still have to what? Find a way. Yep. Right? Yes. Find a way. So that's the definition. I didn't write this word out for you. I just forgot to put it on the screen. But the word in the original language is metadidomi, okay? Phonetically, M-E-T-A-D-I-D-O-M-I, okay? It's a compound word you can probably hear. Didomi means to give. Meta means with, okay? Metadidomi. And that's this word that's translated. Now in the ESV, it's translated as contribute, the one who contributes, right? I don't know what your version says, but metadidomi means to give or to share something, you see? And both words are very descriptive, when you're willing to share something sacrificially. Now I'm gonna show you why in a minute. So, again, I didn't write it down, but if you're interested in that, M-E-T-A-D-I-D-O-M-I, metadidomi. Now, what things can we learn from Jesus Christ about this gift? Most of you are familiar with John 3:16, right? Probably everybody in the room can quote it, right? For God, what? So loved the world that he gave his only son. Gave, that's the word. Metadidomi. He gave his only son that whoever believes might not what, perish but have everlasting life. So it's motivated, it has godly motives. The person with this gift doesn't have some ulterior motive for recognition, you see. You don't have to print my name in the bulletin. You don't have to, if I give to someone, I don't expect them to stand up in church and to say that, you know, I gave them a gift. That's, you see, the person with this gift has what? Godly motives. I did it for what? For their good. Yes? And so it's important to recognize if you have this gift, and don't let people force you into the spotlight. See, people like to force you into the spotlight when all you're doing is serving God. Don't let people do that. That feeds the what? The flesh. That begins to stir up wrong motives. Keep your motives right and pure when you give. And the other thing that you'll notice about this gift, from Matthew 20, and you don't have to turn there if you want. Matthew 20, 28, what does it say? For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but what? To serve and to what? Give his life. That's the word. Didomi. Give his life as a ransom for many. You get it? So you see, it's the person with this gift is willing to make personal sacrifice. Jesus didn't send someone in his place. Why? Because no one could come in his place. And when you have the gift, you need to know that nobody, God does not plan for anybody else to make the sacrifice, what? But you. Stop looking around, waiting on somebody else to go and do it, you see? Be willing to make the personal sacrifice. The third thing that I gleaned from the life of Christ is that the person with this gift gives what is good and needful. I think it's Matthew 7:11. I believe that's the verse that talks about if your fathers know how to give, you know, good things, you know, your Father in heaven knows how to give good things to us, right? Good things. So the person with this gift, what do I mean by that? You know how it is sometimes, people are, you have the Boy Scouts and different folks go around to homes and they collect canned goods, that kind of thing. People are making donations to pantries and that kind of deal. You see, oftentimes, it's a sad testimony of people's thinking, but people give away outdated things, even with the canned goods that you're not planning to use anymore, you see, and give those things away. Give away clothes that you don't wear, not that you can't wear them, but you don't plan to wear them anymore because you consider them outdated or whatever. That's not the gift of giving. The gift of giving gives what's good. Give people, you just went to the grocery store. Give people part of what you just bought. You see?
Amen.
Go in your closet and give people clothes that you still wear. You see? Now I'm going to talk about this. And these are things that all of us as the people of God need to know. But the person with the gift of giving in particular, this is what motivates them. People look at them and they wonder, they say, well, you just bought this thing. How can you be giving it away? You ain't even used it. It's still got the tags on it. But you see, that doesn't deter the person with the gift of giving when God has told them to give something. And it's no different with you and your gift, you see. When I tell you all that, I didn't get but 1 or 2 hours of sleep, that doesn't bother me when I'm doing what God tells me to do, you see. And this is the beauty of serving God the way what He has called you. You see, you're not trying to impress anybody. Not trying to impress anybody. Now, there's a few more insights I want to give you, but these are not looking at Christ. This is looking at the Word itself, looking at the Word didomi itself, or giving. Okay, and so the first one. If you turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 11, you find that Romans 1 and verse 11. It says, Paul writing here, "For I long to see you that I may impart," there's our word, didomi, "that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you," okay? And so, what is he saying here? I long is a burning desire. The person with the gift of giving is not just some fleeting idea that they have. God has put this desire in them so much that they cannot wait to give away what God has shown them a person needs. You can't wait. They're not going to sit around and wait for the next, whatever you call it, some big day when folks can see you bringing your contributions. God has told you to give it today. You see, you'll drive to someone's location and give it to them, right? A burning desire to give. The next thing that I noticed from studying this word, can you turn to Luke chapter 3? And verse 11. Find Luke chapter 3 and verse 11. And what I want you to see here is that the person with this gift gives personal high quality items. You got it? And he answered them, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. And whoever has food is to do likewise." That's what I was just saying to you. You got food in your, whatever you call it, on your shelf or in your pantry or whatever, whatever you got at home. Go in there. Don't go to the back. You seem to get the stuff that's been back there. Go in there and you notice what he said? You got two tunics. These are what? This is clothes that you wear right now. Right now, you wear it right now. Take one of them and give it away. Good stuff. Good stuff, you see. And the person with this gift, you're going to have to be willing to take criticism. I have to do it for using my gift. You'll have to do it for using your gift. There are times that God gives me 20 minutes of information to give you, and I do it. But there are other times that he gives me 50 or an hour, and I know that it's not necessarily making people happy, but I have to do it. You see what I've been charged to do. And so when God gives you somebody and says, give this to them, you can't let people's criticism stop you from doing it.
That's right.
Do you know how much money you spend for that? You see? Just giving it away. Sometimes families have problems. Because a family member doesn't understand why you give so much to the church.
Yeah.
But you have to be willing to take the heat if you're doing what God calls you to do. Yeah?
Amen.
And sometimes you got to deal with your own conscience. Your own conscience is trying to dissuade you. You can't give that much. You can't give this thing. So you got to overcome your what? You got to crucify the flesh. You got to deny yourself. Isn't that what Jesus said? Take up your what? Your cross and follow him. Every one of us, whatever your gift is, you're going to have to learn to win that battle. Because using your spiritual gifts isn't always convenient or practical. Okay? We good?
Still
with it?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's giving personal high quality items. Let me see what the next one is here. So if you could find Ephesians 4:28, most of you will be familiar with this. Ephesians 4:28. The person with this gift is willing to work hard to have something to share with other people. Now that sounds like an oxymoron. Most time people think that you have a good job and you work hard, take care of your family and yourself. The Bible doesn't deny that, but the Bible says, particularly the person with this gift, is to work hard to have something to share with everyone else, okay? You got Ephesians 4:28? Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his hands, so that he may have something to, there's the word, share. I don't know what your translation says. Has something to share, that's the word, didomi. With anyone, look at the rest of it. Anyone what? In need. The person with the gift of giving always saves a little bit. Because they know that they're going to need to help somebody. Always save a little bit. Not just because you're planning a vacation. Not just because you got your eye on new shoes or a new thing. But the person with the gift of giving has always got somebody in mind that may need some help. Okay? You can look up that 1 Thessalonians on your own. I'm spending a lot of time here because this is an important gift. I'm not denying that any of the others are not, but the Bible gives a lot of information about this particular gift. Now go back to the verse. Can you go back to the verse in Romans 12? It says the one who contributes in generosity, right? In generosity. So what does that mean? It means to have pure motives and to give with liberality. In Matthew 6, Jesus talked about people who give what? For public attention. Don't do that. Don't give to be seen, right? So the person, that's what I said earlier, the person with the gift of giving, they're not concerned about who knows it. They got pure motives. And then in 2 Corinthians 9, Brother Lay and others who cover the offering, they talked about in 2 Corinthians 9, God loves a what? A cheerful giver. And he talks about giving, you see, generously or liberally. Now, I'm gonna try to close this one out. but I can't leave this gift without you taking a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Can you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and look at the first three verses? Try to get there myself. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Think about my statement here. Christians with this gift may not have much to give. Sometimes Christians with the gift of giving are very poor. I don't know what your circumstance, but in many of our communities where we grew up, there's typically somebody in the community who loved to cook. And they always cooked a lot. And they could always have people in their homes. Even though they didn't have much money, it seemed like they could feed so many people. Now I'm an only child, and so I don't know a lot about, you know, a whole lot of people, a family members, you know, sitting down to eat. But I do know people who, though it sometimes they were single, maybe widows or whatever, but when they cooked, they just cooked a whole lot of food because they wanted to be ready to feed people. You ever know anybody like that? And so they don't, it's not because they got a lot of money, it's just because they got a big heart. And they love to give what they can. Okay.
So you got 2 Corinthians 8. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. Now look at this. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy, and look at this, and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Verse 3 is important. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the release of the saints. That's the gift of giving. Not that I've got so much to give, but what I do have. What I do have. I give what I do have. And so I'm going to leave it there. I think you get the picture by now. This gift is needful to support the work of ministry that's going on in the church. It's needed to support missions where people are outside of their local area. It's needed to support individuals in crisis. Where people need you to give financially, they need you to give clothing, they need you to give food, they need you to give your skills, you see, their time, counseling, all of these things. The gift of giving is willing to give this way because this gift ensures that physical needs are met in the body of Christ. Okay. I won't spend near that much time on the next gift, but I did want you to know that the Bible gives a lot of detail about giving. So let's move quickly to the next gift, which is leading, okay? To the one who leads, or leads with zeal. So what is leading? Leading is the supernatural ability to oversee, manage matters, and care for people in the body of Christ. I did put this word up there for you. That's the word phonetically in the Greek. Proistemi, spelled P-R-O-I-S-T-I-M-I. Okay? T-E-M-I. It means to rule, to direct, or be at the head. Now we got some gleaning from the life of Christ that I want to look at real quick, and then I'm going to try to wrap all this up. Can you turn to Matthew chapter 10? So if you go to Matthew chapter 10, you'll see one of the first attributes with the gift of leading is that the person with the gift of leading calls helpers together organization. You see that in verse 1? And he called to him 12 disciples and gave them authority over clean spirits. So the person with this gift knows how to organize people, bring them together. Other thing that you'll notice about this gift from verse 1 is that the person with this gift selects qualified people for assignments. Who did Jesus call? He called to him his 12 disciples. And if you remember, he had prayed all night for God to give him a clear insight about qualified people. These were the people that were going to be with him, in this case, for the rest of his life on earth, and have to carry on after he's gone. And the person with this gift is thinking about that when other people are thinking about all of the folks who got the right education, all of the people that, you see, are financially stable, the people that have not had messy backgrounds and don't have bad reputation, you see. But the person with the gift of living is looking way beyond that. They're looking at a person's character as God has changed. The Bible talks about the 12 that Jesus chose, and you know the story. The people around them couldn't accept the fact that these are unlearned and untrained men trying to lead us in the ways of God. But when you have the gift of leading, you are not impressed by people's education. You're not impressed by their bank account. You see, how well they can speak. You remember Moses? When God called Moses to go to Pharaoh, what was the problem? Now, Moses said, I can't talk. I don't even talk well. And you want me to go represent you, you see? But God knew what was in Moses. And the person with the gift of leading can see what's in people. Others don't. All others can do is remember what they used to be. And the fact they can't keep a job and this thing and that thing, you see. It's really important, when, if you got this gift, to not be persuaded by pressure from the world to make you think you're selecting bad people. Because if God gave you the gift and God tells you who to select, go with God. Right? Yeah. And I'll tell you another thing. I'm taking too much time here. But you see, one of the reasons I'm at peace at 74 years old, with having turned down churches and other places where people wanted me to go, is because I know I'm where God wants me. You see?
Amen.
I'm in my basement at 74 years old with 10 people. That's where God wants me.
Yes.
I'm at complete peace with them.
Amen.
You understand?
Yes.
I'm not looking for approval from the world, or from other pastors, or other church leaders, or anything. You have to learn to be satisfied with God saying to you, well done. Can you do that? And so we selects qualified people for assignments. The other thing that you'll notice here is that the person with this gift provides instructions for assignments. You see verse 5? These 12 Jesus sent out instructing them. See? Instructing them is what to do. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town, you see, etc., etc. Give the person with this gift gives good instructions for people to take on assignments. The person with this gift delegates authority and responsibility. Again, beginning at verse 5, Jesus is delegating. He knows that he can't go to all of the towns and the locations himself, so what? He sends delegates. And the person with this gift knows how to do that. One of the final things here is that you see the person with this gift leads by example. Go down to verse 24. Jesus said, "The disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher and the servant to be like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they malign those of his household?" And so as I told you before, I've had all kinds of slander thrown my way. But you got to learn how to handle both praise and slander. You got to learn how to handle when people are exaggerating your worth or exaggerating your faults and your flaws or your lack of worth. You just gotta, all of us have to learn to be at peace with your gifts. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like seeing a child of God who's not looking to anyone else for affirmation. And a child of God who can leave the consequences. When you've done what God called you to do, can you just leave it? That's challenging. Because in most of our minds, when you're doing something for God, you've got a result in your mind. Don't we?
Yes.
And yet we've got to learn that when I've done, because see, if you're not careful, you'll go first. You'll do more than God called you to do, because you think you know what the result ought to be. Uh-huh. And it could be for any of the giving. You could wind up giving more than God intended, because you see, you've got something in your mind that you're saying needs to be done. All right. So these are the major things that I wanted you to. Oh, there's that little word at the end that it says with zeal, and that simply means to be seriously committed. You see, and devoted to the task that God has assigned to you. And the thing is that any member may have this gift. Any member in the body of Christ may have this gift, but it's certainly essential for pastors and anyone that's going to be a ministry coordinator or director. Okay. So that's these two gifts that finish up this list here in Romans 12. I want to try to end with a illustration. I imagine in a room of people at our age that everyone in here at some time has probably had to see some specialist, medical specialist, for whatever reason. You know, people in the medical field, you got people that are specialists, there's heart surgeons, right? You got neurologists and anesthesiologists. You got, ENT, ear, nose, people that specialize in ear, nose, and throat. You got podiatrists, what's that? That's foot doctors. people that specialize in pediatrics, right? Children and only specialists. Now, even though a physician specializes in one thing, along the way that physician had to get some general training, you see, about the body. And so, even though you are a heart surgeon, there's sometimes you have to help people with a stomach ache. Okay. Or you have to help people with a headache. Okay?
Now, so what does that mean, Brother Willie? I'm saying it's the same thing in the body of Christ. Even though you might have the specialty, a specialty in a gift from God, God still expects all of us to do these necessary things.
Let me give you a perfect example. We just talked about the gift of giving, right? And how certain people have specially and specifically been given the gift of giving. But God expects all believers to be generous. You understand that? This is really important. So you can't sit back and say, well, people with the gift are going to be generous, so, you know, that's no big deal for me. You'd be wrong. Some people have the gift, but all of us are expected to be generous. Right? 2 Corinthians 9? God loves what? A cheerful giver. Is that just the people with the gift of giving?
No.
The Bible says each one. Let each one give. You see? And so this is important as we study these gifts. It's not for you to think that, well, that takes the pressure off of you because certain people have gifts to do this. No. We just looked at the fact that some people are particularly gifted with the gift of exhortation. Right? Remember that? But God expects all believers to exhort and encourage. Right? You don't have to be especially gifted to be able to look at your neighbor and realize they need some encouragement.
Amen.
And you can't sit around and say, I'm going to wait for the person with the gift of exhortation. You right there right now.
Yes, yes.
They need you right now. That's it. And so I don't want, as we study these gifts, I don't want any of us trying to pigeonhole everything and to figure I have no responsibility because there's certain people with the gift. That's wrong. Certain people with the gifts are very effective. They are specialists. But sometimes people just have a headache. And you can help. Yes?
Amen.
Okay. Well, God bless you all. You've been very patient. And so as we conclude for today, that actually concludes this list of gifts in Romans chapter 12. And so my question to you, are you ready? Are you ready to present your body as a living sacrifice to God? Have y'all forgotten that? That's where we started with Romans 12? Right? Therefore, by what? The mercies of God, I appeal to you to what? Present your bodies as a living sacrifice. Are you ready to do that today? Have you already presented your body as a living sacrifice and said to God, here I am. Here I am. Send me. I surrender all and I am ready to be an instrument in your hands. My God and my Lord, I'm ready. Are you ready to resist the pressure of this world to compromise? You see, that's what verse 2 goes on to say. You ready to resist the pressure to think selfishly and rebel against God? Are you ready to be transformed in your thinking and have your mind renewed, right? And then what verse 2 says? Do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of your mind. Are you ready? Are you at that place or right now? Are you ready to say, I'll overcome my fears? You ready to overcome your fears? Are you ready to stop making excuses? Are you ready to face your weaknesses? Are you ready to accept the thorn in your flesh
Everybody in here needs to be really seeking God to find out those things in your life that you're going to have until you die. Stop praying about them. Stop wasting your energy on them. You need to know what those thorns are that are not going away. Are you really willing to accept your trials and your rejection? Are you willing to accept your financial hardships? Are you willing to accept your family hardships, your medical hardships, the injustice that you are experiencing? Are you willing to accept your loss of friends and your loss of popularity, your loss of possessions, your loss of reputation, to willingly and gladly serve Christ? Look at the lives of those who follow Christ. Look at Peter, what he had to sacrifice to be a follower of Jesus. Look at Philip, what he had to sacrifice to follow. Look at Stephen. And think of it. He hadn't followed Christ very long before they killed him. And as I said, most of us in this room, you made it to your 50s. I don't think anybody's in their 40s. If you are, forgive me. But I mean, that's no. You shouldn't think of that lightly. To make it to your 50s. Some of these followers of Christ died young. Think of Priscilla and Aquila. And what they had to, that husband and wife had to sacrifice. Think of Mary Magdalene. After Jesus forgave all of her sins and that terrible reputation, she was willing to sacrifice all, surrender all for Jesus. Think of Phoebe and Eudaia and Syntyche. You see, all of these saints that have lived before us and what they were willing to sacrifice to present their bodies as a living and holy sacrifice, to use the gifts that God had given them for the body of Christ. Oh my goodness, when you read the life of Paul and what he went through. But you see, that was his life. I can't imagine what it's like to be left for dead, can you? The very people you're trying to help tried to kill you, and they thought you were dead. And you get right up and go back. This is amazing. But you see, when you know God, what God has called you to do, you can face death in the face and still love Him. That's what we're up against. That's the phase of our journey. As Brother Ernest likes to say, we're no longer sitting on the bank. We pushed away from the bank. This is a different phase of our journey. And they're more dangerous when you push away from the bank. I've begun to learn some of them myself, but you have to be prepared as well. There are lots of battles. There are mountains, but there are also lots of battles. And you have to be willing to deal with both. Yes?
Amen.
Because we're the body. We're it. They all presented their bodies as living sacrifices. They were all transformed by the renewing of their minds. And they used their spiritual gifts for the glory of God, for the benefit of other believers, and for the good of their own souls. I invite you to do the same today. So let's just bow together. I'm not
going to try to tell any of you what to think. I just want you to bow together. Let's bow together, and you have some real dealings with God on your own.